This video is kindly sponsored by Project Red. Check the link in the description to find out more. This video is made possible by 3D Musketeers, offering full-service product development, prototyping, and production, helping you make awesome from art to part. Links in the description.
Hello everyone! Welcome to this week's Meet a Maker. I am super, super excited because we are here with Jovan and Bandy. Hello!
Hi!
Hi, Jovan. How you doing?
I'm good. He's good, too. I think he can't talk, so I didn't get that far.
Is he mimicking you? That's crazy.
That's what they do right now. It's how I have it set up.
Ah, that's so cool. I love it so much. Tell me, introduce yourself. Tell me about who you are, what you make. It's kind of obvious, but...
I'm a tinker from LA, and I make robots. I specialize in wearable robots, but I also build all different types of robots. Robots in general.
Robots. And really cute, fun, kind of companion-style robots generally, right?
Wearable robots, also known as companion bots.
So cute, so cute. So what got you into making wearable robots?
I got inspired originally by Alex Glow. I saw her Archimedes project on the internet, and I got really inspired to make one of my own. So I ended up building a robot spider that's a wearable, and that went from there. And I kind of just became a little bit too obsessed with the concept.
I love it though. Like, you do the most amazing, amazing things that just blow my mind. Like, look at him! Look at him! It's so cool.
There's moments when he wants to work anyway.
For anyone listening to this, the robot is mimicking Jovan as he moves his head from side to side, and he's nodding as Jovan nods. It is the cutest thing. And the little eye, oh my god, I love it. And so, when you got into it, had you already got robotic skills behind you, or is that something you learned as you built them?
That's something I learned as I went. I am all self-taught. I have taken no classes and done any of those type of things. Not a boot camp, not a thing. I literally got a whole bunch of books and used a whole bunch of internet and then treated it as a religion at one point. That's what I can describe it. It's treating it like a religion. Because I just studied every aspect that I could and learned as much as I could to a point where I can easily build mechanical machines without that much of a problem.
That's amazing. What kind of, you mentioned books and stuff. Are there any particular ones that you would recommend to other people who kind of want to do similarly cool things?
Yeah, all the Maker books, anything done by Make, because I have a whole bunch of projects in there. And also recently, I got on TikTok recently, and a lot of people have been asking me, how do you do this? I recommend people always start off by doing small projects. So Adafruit projects, small tutorials that you see that are really popular, just try them. Don't go in expecting to build a full functioning robot. Just go in to try and get this one project to work, and then go do another project, And then the more projects you do, the more you end up building your repertoire of skills pretty much until you can kind of put it all together and then doing your own stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that makes a lot of sense. You're kind of building confidence as you go. So it's not I think my problem with, because I've always wanted, I say this a lot on the podcast, I've always wanted to do electronic stuff, but I just get so overwhelmed because I think I just shoot too high. I just want to do something real crazy. But I think, yeah, that starting small kind of thing is probably, I need to take a leaf out of your book, I think, in that regard.
Well, it makes you feel better. The first thing I did, I started learning this in college because, of course, I went to art school. I did a whole bunch of illustration things. I still have an illustration degree that I barely use.
Yeah.
The first thing I ended up doing on my first electronics project, I didn't know anything about Ohm's law or voltage and current. I didn't know anything about that. So I bought a battery pack, which could hold 12 AA batteries. And I bought a micro servo. And me not knowing about microcontrollers or anything, I thought I can just plug it up and go. So I plugged a huge battery pack into a small micro servo, and the servo just exploded. It instantly just went poof.
See, this is something I would do and something I'm terrified of doing. So,
I literally had a huge gust of smoke and stuff start rising up. The fire alarm went off. My roommate got mad. It was a story.
Oh no! Oh no!
But that's how I started. That was me jumping into the deep end without thinking.
Well, I mean, and now you're making robots, so I guess there's something to be said for starting and failure exploring something. That, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's like that. Is there? I think it's from Adventure Time. It's a quote: "Sucking at something is the first step to being kind of good at something." I remind myself of that sometimes, and I think I just need to jump in and explode a few things, and it'll be okay.
Just make sure you have, you know, the right fire extinguisher products around, and maybe safety goggles and some gloves. You just gotta experiment. Go full scientist on it. Go full scientist. Experiment.
I have my lab coat somewhere. I still have one of those somewhere.
And then remember the rule. It's only science because you're writing it down. So take notes on what you're doing and then results.
This is big brain. This is big brain tips right here. Fire extinguisher notes. I'm liking it. You mentioned having done an art degree. So what was it like coming from art to this? I mean, these are works of art in a sense, you know, they're very aesthetically pleasing and interactive and fun in a kind of artistic way, but like, it's quite a jump. Like some people might think.
For me, it was definitely, it wasn't a hard jump because I'm not a very good artist in that terms. I went to a school called Academy of Art University of San Francisco, and their rules there is that they grade everyone like professionals. So what that means is if you do 3 professional works and get an A on them, you get to skip the class. But they do mean keen, like, good work. Like, this is ready to be put into, like, a TV show or whatever you want to, or art gallery, good work. And a lot of people who went to that school, including myself, weren't really trained as some other students were, because some other students came in with, like, art backgrounds from, like, art school and high school, or some parents who, like, gave money to their craft. Mm-hmm. I was really bad. Like, I survived on C minuses and C's, like barely getting by. Detailed charcoal drawing of, I did a charcoal drawing of Will Smith's face, and it was so detailed, I still got a C minus.
Aww, they sound harsh.
Very hard.
Wow. Oh, well, I don't know. I feel like most artists are like self-critical, you know, like you're probably better than you're saying. I feel like.
I just learned, I think, around my junior year, which was kind of like already too late. And I was just like, I didn't want to give up because I was so close to graduating at that point. I realized around my junior year that I really didn't want to draw for a living just because it's so hard to get a job like drawing in an industry unless you follow industry standards, which you have to like other. I know I learned from my teacher, because he was working for Marvel at the time, that you have to meet people, you have to kind of kiss up a bit, because I was going for comic book art and I found out there's a hierarchy to comic book art. So it's like this, the writer is like the king, but then the writer, the penciler reports to the writer, and then the inker reports to the penciler, and then the color artist reports to the inker. So it's like this weird hierarchy of the comic book world. And I remember my teacher who was working on a comic book, one of the Superman comic books about Superman having a kid. And he brought one of his panels into class one day, and it was inked really well. Like, it was a scene of Superman's son sitting under a tree, and the tree was inked with every leaf in detail. So he took a very small, like, ballpoint pen, and he, like, inked every leaf on that tree. And we thought it was gorgeous because it was just so done detailed. I know it took him hours to do. And then next week when he came back, he told us the penciler didn't like it. So he had to re-ink that panel over. And instead of this beautiful ink tree, he just had to substitute it with a block of just black ink and then some highlights. And I was like, no, that was my ending of like, all right, I can't do this because.
Yeah. Art for money, like commissions is like really hard because you like, yeah, you're always like having to pander to some sort of audience, whoever it is, the person paying you, and it's hard to like give up what you believe in and what you Yeah, that would be really hard.
Yeah, it's like that. And like, if you want to work for like Disney, they expect you to master their style of art. So your style can't look any different compared to the next artist's style. Mm-hmm. And things like that. And that just was very disheartening for me. I was like, I can't do this. But I was already in, so I was like, I'm going to graduate. But this is not where I'm going to be facing for career. But by that time, I had already started practicing with microcontrollers and servos and coming up with ideas. And I was teaching myself how to 3D print as well. So before then, I was using stuffed animals and trying to put electronics in them. So I was making like small plushies and trying to put LEDs in them and things like that originally.
Cute.
So it was a fun level up.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, it's I think you landed in the right place because the things you make are incredible. And yeah, like no wonder you've taken off on TikTok in like a relatively short time because they're just so cool. Like, like mad scientist kind of levels of awesome.
I just have fun. Like I remember getting Make magazines. I believe I found them out, I think about freshman year of college, but I didn't really think about them too seriously. I just knew that they were in the Bay Area. And of course, everyone's like, oh, in the Bay Area. Of course, in the Bay Area. So it was a big deal. But I really didn't start taking them seriously until I started getting into more electronics. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. These people are building these really cool things. I want to do this. I want to build that.
Found it. Found your niche.
Yeah. So it was kind of like going to school, doing schoolwork, doing work. And then like any little time I had, I would like pick up a book and read about this or read about that or figure out this and figure out that and try to add it to my repertoire.
That's awesome. You kind of like fell in love with it in a way. Like it was just every spare moment kind of thing.
The best way I could describe it is like accidentally finding your passion. Like you didn't know you were passionate about it until you like started doing it. And you're just like, this is the best thing ever. Like,
yeah. Hell yeah. What's
like smart art?
Oh, sorry, what?
Like, oh, sorry, art. Sorry, art school.
Yeah. Giving up on that one. Too boring. Yeah. What's the process like? Like, where do your ideas come from? How do you come up with those? And how do you go about, because you actually turn these around really quickly. Like, I've seen you go from idea to having a functional robot in like days sometimes. Like, how does that go?
My process is pretty simple. Like I do sketch out my ideas first. Like of course I have Pinterest and things like that, and I have a whole bunch of like other art books that I look into sometimes depending on the video game or whatever. But I'll get an idea or a cool design concept and I'll sketch it out a few times just to see if like this goes here, how would that look, if this goes here, how that look, or how would that work. And now my sketchbook is full of just like idea sketches. I feel like one day if I ever become that popular, my sketchbook would be like Leonardo da Vinci sketchbook where people will like find it and it'd be like a whole bunch of like ideas I just never worked on, but they're still pretty cool.
Yes, that'd be awesome. But that'll definitely happen.
Yeah, it goes upon for like that first, and then it goes into the course of the CADing stages where I would take my design and start using Fusion 360. I'll CAD out the design. And then I start the printing process. And while the stuff is printing, I'll start working on the circuit. And then I start building things together like that. And a lot of times, the reason why I'm able to do things kind of fast is because I have a personal rule of if it fits and it works, print out a second one just in case, because something might break later down the line. So a lot of times when I'm doing something or I'm making something really quickly, I already have extra parts. Like when I made my magpie eyes, the goggles with the lenses that move, those took me only 2 days because I already had the lenses made because I made a few of them for another project. So I had to do the electronic parts and then CAD out like some basic design to hold them on the frames, and then they're done.
That's really cool. You almost like build up a catalog of like project parts almost. That's like a really interesting idea.
Yeah, I have a whole like folder on my computer that I just call it extra, and it's fill just like extra little parts that are like not part of any real one robot. There's part of anything that can go on another robot. And then of course I have like circuit designs in that folder for like small easy circuits that can be easily put together, and then things like that.
And are these things that like were originally built into a project, or do you just sometimes dabble and make these things knowing they'll probably become handy in future?
Well, a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a good example was, I think a few months ago, I was trying to think of a mechanism that would be really useful on making something lift up without using an actuator, because actuators online, especially servo actuators, are really expensive. Like ones, the smallest one they have costs still like $95.
Wow. So yeah. Okay.
I had to come up with a mechanism for that. So I remember sitting around for like a few days trying to think of a mechanism that can move something just up. And it took me, I was brainstorming and I was at work and I saw the construction workers and they were on a lift. And I noticed the lift had a scissor mechanism. And I was like, oh, I can use a scissor mechanism. So I would go home and I just had a scissor mechanism and it worked and everything. I tested it and I'm like, cool, now I have this for later. So when I want to make something move in that way, I have something for that.
Oh, genius. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, okay, cool. And do you often find like those little inspirations or the solutions to problems you come across? Are they things that you find in real life? Like you mentioned Pinterest as well, but yeah, like when you come into those struggles, where do you go? Like,
I go into the internet, I go deep into the internet, and then, I don't know, I feel like humans, like not just me in general, but people in general, we're really good problem solvers when we put our entire mind on the project. So like, even if I don't get in it one day and my mind will just keep thinking about it, and then I feel like eventually I get an idea or inspiration will hit eventually. But as long as I keep like that one problem in my head, eventually something will pop up and I'm like, oh, that could work. Or like, oh, I can do that. And I pull out my sketchbook really quickly and I write it down so I don't forget it, and then get to work when I get the chance.
I keep hearing of this sketchbook and I'm like, is it your constant companion? Like, do you have it? Do you always have a sketchbook on you? For ideas?
Pretty much. I got a small one and then I got a bigger one and I always just keep it with me. And I use my phone sometimes too, because my phone is a stylus. It has a stylus on it. So sometimes I can just plop the stylus and do a quick sketch and be like, okay, this is what I need to remember. And that can expand upon it later.
Yeah, I love externalizing stuff. Like it really helps me to like order my thoughts and to like stay on track, is like when I write it down and have it physical, there's just something about it. Or, you know, even digital, but just like have it out of my brain.
Yeah.
Like, it's really helpful.
I'm usually afraid that I will forget for some reason, or like what I try to do is I try to plan out my projects like per day. Like I'm already working on another project today and I just want to get the circuit tested out and get the values for what I'm doing. And if I get the values tonight, I can start building up the circuit and printing out the parts that I need tomorrow, and then I can just go from there.
That's awesome. I love it. You're very orderly. I need to do that as well.
Really orderly when it comes to this, like it's you would find it very funny, but the rest of my life is pretty chaotic, like 100% chaotic, just chaos everywhere. But when it comes to like building things and stuff like that, my brain's just like, oh yeah, we got this. Like I'm not sure if it's like an ADHD thing or something, or it's like
hyper focused on the building.
Yeah, like I've been called like genius in like different terms, and I'm just like, I'm not a genius. I'm just overly obsessive about this one thing.
Yeah. It sounds like ADHD.
I tried doing JavaScript programming last night and I couldn't get past one line. I couldn't get Hello World done. So like,
I've been there. I tried to learn C# because I wanted to build Unity games, like games in Unity. And I was like, oh my God, this is the devil. And I couldn't get there. I've never felt so dumb. But Python, I just click with Python. Python and I are friends. So it's like, yeah.
I'm taking a Python class this coming month because I want to build my own AI system, and I've already learned that Python is the best way for that. Because most of my robots currently are being controlled by microcontrollers. And they're always just basic sensors like ultrasonic sensor, a light sensor, motion sensor. Those are the basic things. Like him right now is just a motion sensor. So like when he sees me, it takes him a second, but he just copies what I'm doing.
Is there an AI behind that knows that you're tilting? Like how does he understand the tilt?
Sure. I don't want to move it right now because it's plugged into DC power and it's a really short cord, but there's a motion sensor on the back of the head right now or pointing towards me. So right now all it's doing is seeing me and then just copying what I'm doing.
Oh, so it's like a distance sensor almost or something?
It's a motion sensor.
Just
it's
motion. Okay. And it can tell when you're going this way as opposed to that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's
about three of them in the back of the head right here, which, like I said, I would, but like, bang.
Yeah, no,
and
don't.
Yeah, they're all like, right now he's like moving kind of like back and forth with it because he thinks I'm moving, but like I'm not. So like that tells you that microcontroller issues are still there. Because like I'm not even moving yet. He's like, oh, you're moving.
He just looks cute though. Like I kind of like that he's a little organic, you know, like he almost has a bit of a mind of his own. It kind of makes it more charismatic or something.
Oh yeah, like I definitely went and thought about that when I was designing them, because I really wanted just to have an extra like robot on camera with me when I do these type of talks, because I feel like he's very interesting.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I built him just to be like my little companion for like talks and things like this. That way I can always have like a little robot on screen.
So I love it. It's I feel like I want one. I just, it's just like, yeah, it's so just fun and cute and entertaining and amazing. Like, it's just so crazy that it still blows my mind how it all works. Like, I feel like I'm not asking very good questions because I don't know enough about it. But you were talking about wanting the AI sort of stuff. What will that allow you to do that you can't currently do or that you want to do or whatever?
Well, see, there's a fun story to that. Originally, when I got into robotics, or when I decided to focus on robotics mainly, was because I didn't have many companions growing up in like college, because I was working full-time, doing school full-time. I didn't have that free time to go out and do things. And that caused some issues. So, like, I had a free moment, like a class got canceled, so I went to like get lunch in the school cafeteria, and I realized that like I don't have any friends, like, aww, that's an issue. So I got into this whole concept of like, why do I need human friends when I can have a robot friend? Like R2-D2, yeah, things like that, they're always around in like the movies and stuff like that, they're always with their person. So I was like, I can just build my own robot, and that's what that started. And I feel like with AI, I can probably like get that type of, I don't know, social interaction with the robots.
A bit more random. During COVID.
Yeah, like it's the perfect idea. So like I really want my own personal like AI I can just like have at home and be like, hey, I'm back, and have it reply to me through like Bluetooth speakers, stuff like that. Like my own Siri, except with a physical body.
Yeah, super cute. I love it. I love it. And yeah, it can't give you COVID, so that's nice. Is this something you want to do? Like, do you want to make money from this kind of thing? Or is it something you do just for yourself? Like, yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing. Like, I do it mostly for myself. Like, that's always been a thing for me. Like, it's kind of weird when people always tell me, like, constantly, like, oh, you should sell this or you should patent this and stuff like that. Mm. But, like, I learned so much from the maker community that, like, I feel wrong hoarding anything I do because, like, they gave me so much that I feel like I have to give back constantly. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't mind, like, this becoming my job in the future, maybe. Like, this becoming some type of, like, income. But, like, that's far in the future currently. I kind of like my, I like to call it my superhero life, where like I can go in the day, do my normal job, don't have to talk about any of this, and then clock out, I get to go and do the thing I actually care about.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I definitely feel there's something to be said for having a divide there and being able to take breaks from either, because sometimes it can be overwhelming in both ways.
I've had a lot of projects not work because I'm in a rush for some time constraint or something, and I have to like, I call it a shelf. Like I have a shelf in my room of just like projects that I had to like other put up there because of some other reason. And even my monkey robot Dexter is up there right now. I had to shelf them because what I was trying to do is too big for what I'm currently capable of, but eventually I get to come back to him and he can like take care of it.
I love Dexter. I think that's the first robot I saw of yours. And yeah, so, so cute. What do you want to do to him that you can't yet, or that your plans?
Oh, since I'm focusing mostly on wearable robots, I've been taking this time, especially more recently, I've been taking it a little bit more seriously. I'm making robots more comfortable by wearing them. And it's something I've been working towards for a while now. And the last time I updated Dexter, I made him so stiff that he couldn't be wearable. Like I couldn't fit him on my back, I couldn't fit him on my shoulder, I couldn't fit him anywhere. So I've been trying to work on a new design that can fit that problem. And it was working for a while, but now he's too ragdoll. Like he just flops around. There's no real like strength to his body. So I'm taking a break from him right now, put him on the shelf while I work on these other smaller projects that hopefully put me up to the skill level where I can come back to him and fix what I think was wrong, which I'm already working on. Like I finished RX-21 like last week, and walked around like the entire day with him on my back, and he was completely fine and fit well. So
that's cool. And is, yeah, like, you just turn out work so quickly, it blows my mind. when you're talking about the fit and like the comfort of it, is it about adding like sort of padding and soft materials in there, or is it more about like getting the shape of your body to like work with the robot?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Definitely a little bit of both. Because my first time where I was wearing my spider robot Aussie for Maker Faire back in 2018, me and Alex both wore our wearable robots and we had them on our shoulder all day. And by the time the day was like done, we were done with all the after parties and stuff, our shoulders were just in pain. Oh, so we learned very fast that padding and stuff is necessary. But then also the human body is so weird. Like, we're very strangely shaped creatures for being made out of like bone and a whole bunch of other stuff that I really don't know. I'm not a biologist. Anyway.
Stuff. Meaty stuff. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Like, we have so many folds that it's really hard to like design a perfect, cool looking robot that can fit around the folds because of that. And also not to like hurt us a lot and stuff too. Because I've learned that if you have moving parts like that are near your face, you can get slapped in the face a lot by your robot, which is not fun at all. If you have long hair like mine or like yours, they can get caught in your hair, which hurts, especially if it's servo moving too, or like gear moving. Ooh. It definitely hurts.
Yeah. And there's a
nuances to it that you have to think about when you're like making a wearable robot compared to just making a robot in general.
Yeah. I didn't even think of these things. Like, is that about like how do you overcome a problem like that? What are the some of the solutions you've come up with?
Solutions I come up with? Well, when it comes to at least my current projects, I've learned that one, I use mostly a backpack or at least something that can be worn on my person when I go out with them, mostly because one, the robot can hold on to the backpack instead of holding on to my person, which makes it a lot more easier. And it can look up from my shoulder and stuff like that, which makes it better. And two, I can always put the robot in the backpack. So if I'm in a place that doesn't allow me to like bring my robot for some random reason or some other personal reason, I can just take it and put it in the backpack, zip it up, keep going. But that's been one way of helping out with that. But I still run into like movement problems and stuff like that. Cause if I walk around or if I move around too much, the robot will like slide off or slide in a weird angle and looks super weird.
Yeah.
So I'm still working on that. And hopefully my next project might fix that problem, but it's a slow process to get there.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I imagine you just take me back to my costuming days where we would have some thing that we would need to do on stage, like someone would need to bleed or something, and you'd need to find some way to hide this in their costume and for it to make sense and not, you know, show through and still be comfortable enough for them to wear repeatedly for weeks. And yeah, it's like I always love those design problems because there's so many conflicting factors, and it's like a good problem to kind of mull on. I don't know, I enjoy that process at least. Do you like solving those kinds of really tricky problems where there's maybe not an exactly perfect answer, or there's lots of conflicting things going on?
I want to say yes, because I love, my favorite part of the entire thing is testing everything. Like, it sounds weird, but like testing something and seeing if it's going to fail is one of my favorite things, because I never know if it's going to work. And a lot of times it doesn't work. Like, I have a tinkering like case that I bring with me that has like a plug-in solder iron, and I'll use like extra parts just in case. But a lot of times, a lot of my first projects, at least back in the day, now they kind of work a lot better. They will always break. And I love it because then I'll take a moment, I'll write what didn't work, and get to improve upon it. Like, I am a walking bag of failures, but only the people remember my successes. But I remember the failures.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I can't remember any time you failed in the whole time I've known you.
I fail often.
It's good to know. This makes me feel better about
my failures. I'm just positive about it. Like, I don't see it. I only see failures when you have to give up. Like, I feel like I don't really give up on any of my projects, so I can't really say I failed any projects. But if I have to, like, give up on a person or something like that, then I count that as a failure. Like, I had to give up. Nothing more I can do. I can't add to it. I can't come back to it. It's a failure. I'm sorry. But like robot projects, I can just be like, okay, that didn't work. Let me write down why that didn't work. Maybe if I try this instead, it'll work. Or maybe if I try this format instead, it'll work. Or if I try this design, maybe it'll work. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of like printing and testing and seeing if it'll work or not. That goes into this.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it though. I think it's a really important message. And yeah, I love the idea of having a shelf of like things that, you know, need a bit of work, but that you actually do take off the shelf and work on, because I have many projects that I recently moved and got rid of most of them, but there were lots of projects that just didn't come out again of that random box they were in. But I like the idea of having them visible and like they're there, you know, and you can see them. And I think that would make me more likely to pick them up. Yeah.
Well, I used to also, they also kind of wanted really great decorations, and so, they're very, I want to say, very motivational in a way of like, it's showing where I started and where I come from. So I still have my first robot I ever built, and it's not a wearable at all. It's just like literally like a 3D printed like robot with a DC motor in it and a 9-volt battery, and it still works. Like, but that's it. All it does is like spin around a bit, but that was my first robot. And seeing that next to like Dexter, my monkey robot, just shows like the big difference of like, this is where I started and this is where I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, I love it. I feel like I'm like getting so many tips from you today. Every time you stop talking and do this, it's so cute how he copies you. Ah, I need one. I need to learn this. It's the coolest. It's so cute.
Fun robots.
You've mentioned Alex a couple of times. Are you friends? Like, have you become friends through? Because there's not that many people doing wearable or companion robots out there, is there?
Not really. I only know of me, Alex, and Angela are the only three currently I know that have completed fully functioning wearable robots. I've had people say they've been inspired by me. I've seen people say they've been like trying, but I haven't seen anyone like, at least not yet, fully finish their own wearable robot. And personally, like, I love when people work on their own, because it goes with a lot of like personal choice. And I feel like it's like finding your familiar type of thing, because you decided to go with this design. And a lot of people, of course, we're like unique beings, so you want to choose your unique design, go from there. And I just love seeing people come up with.
That's awesome. Yeah, it would be so cool. Ah, I love it. Cause like, I'm thinking if I had a companion robot, it would be like, it would probably be fuzzy. There'd be textiles involved, cause of, I just love textiles. Yeah. Just, you know, that's my jam. Cool. So what were you gonna say? Sorry.
That's what I like about Angela's robot, because like me and Alex, we 3D print like our outer shell of our robots. Like we're very 3D print wise to that. Alex uses a lot of like recycled materials. So I remember for her Archimedes beak, she used recycled CDs and she like cut them out a bit and then like made his beak and stuff like that. So she uses a lot of recyclable parts. She's very like, you know, e-waste. And then Angela's very more like you and use a lot of fabric and stuff. So when she made her wearable robot, she made like this little cute dragon thing, and she made it like a scarf, and the head is made actually out of clay. And she put like LEDs in the eyes and stuff like that, but it's 100% like mostly fabric and like one servo, I think, that makes the head tilt back and forth.
Yeah.
But it works. It's super cute. It works, and it's 100% her. And I love it.
I love that. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like Cyberdex, to draw another weird parallel, but like that personalized, Cyberdex is like a personalized computer. You like make a little computer that's really individual to you. And I feel like they're sort of the same, you know, they're an expression of you, like, and it's an extension of you almost, which is just like a really beautiful thing.
I have a lot of extensions then, because like,
you got a lot going on, Jovan.
I'm a robot. Brain.
Pardon?
A lot of robots, lots of extensions there.
Yeah, you go.
Oh, go for it.
No, sorry. Sorry, I keep getting excited about things you're saying, and I don't mean
I thought I had a main one with like Dexter, but I've been slowly walking away from that concept and making just a whole bunch of more robots, because I was talking with a friend of mine, Sarah, and Scotland on Twitter. You probably know them on Twitter from Twitter. We were talking about robot philosophies, because they also have other robots themselves. Scotland has
Petku? Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Love her stuff.
We had a group chat recently about robots, and we started going into the philosophy of robots. And I've been changing my robot designs from less biomimicry into more like robotic designs. Like even this one is designed more like a sea anemone than anything.
He's got that.
But I'm trying to work on more like unique designs in that aspect, just because I don't want, like, if something happens where robots become sentient, I don't want them to be designed based off of humans, because I feel like that's a giant like ego thing. Like, why design a robot to look just like you? You can just go birth a child. Like that's a clone of you right there.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So I've been working with like other like designs. So I've been really inspired by stuff like Star Wars, like The Matrix recently, just because their designs are uniquely robotic. Mm. Except for like C-3PO and stuff like that. We don't talk about them, but we're talking about R2-D2 and, you know, BB-8 and BD-1, those type of like robot designs.
Yeah, robots. I like it. They're their own thing. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And also, like, if you're trying to make it like a human, it's really easy to fall into that uncanny valley. And like, that's like real hard. and why? Like you said, why? Like the robots can be their own thing, and that's awesome. Like, yeah, hell yeah.
I actually ended up like, I'm pretty sure you saw that Boston Dynamics video of the robots dancing and how people were like flipping out scared about that.
Yeah,
and that's
what
really got me, like, to think like, all right, I'm done trying to biomimicry my way using like stuff like this anymore. I'm going to design robots to look robotic, because like, I don't know why humans are just have this whole concept of like robots are going to take over the world and stuff like that. Like, if I was going to be an AI robot, I wouldn't even try to take over the world. I would just wait for you to destroy it and then just pop up out of my hole. Like,
you're doing it like, by yourself. Why would they even need this world when they could just go somewhere else and not be bothered by us? Because they don't need the same resources we do that this ecosphere has. Like, it doesn't really make sense. Yeah.
They could literally just make their own, like, server and then just exist on the internet and just do stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. It makes sense. So you have like a huge catalog of so many robots that you've made. Have you got particular favorites? Like, you mentioned Dexter was kind of a big deal for you for a while, and you're moving more towards this, but are there any particular favorites, and like, why are they your favorites? What did you really like about them and stuff?
I have, I think, three favorites currently, not including Bandy here, or RX-21, because that's still brand new. still working on upgrading them. But I have to say it's Dexter the Robot Monkey, of course, because that was the first time I actually sat down and put like my own artistic design onto a robot. Like, I remade him and upgraded him so many times over like the past year, because he's still only 1 year old. That is
really crazy. Wow, that is wild.
Yeah, he's only 1 year old, and I've redesigned him 7 times.
That's amazing. Yeah, wow.
definitely that one. My dragon robot, Copper, which I still have him up there, but like that one was such a big and hard build to this day. Like, it's still not done, because building a dragon is hard. Everyone thinks it's easy. Building a dragon is super hard.
I can only imagine that being hard. Yeah. Like, was this the one that you wanted to breathe fire? Is this?
Yeah. I just sat down with Sean 2 weeks ago and got the Arduino BLE to work with voice command. So when I say Dracaris, it actually will activate, and hopefully I can hook up that with the little fireball thrower I have and have that work. But I have to redesign it again, because I have to make the head bigger so I can put the actual like flamethrower in the mouth, and I just don't have the time nor the patience to sit around and remake a dragon right now. That's like, maybe if Renaissance Fair was open this year, you know, maybe if that was happening, I'll probably make it more of a thing. But since it's not, because COVID, I'm just like, I'll come back to you eventually.
Yeah, totally get that. Oh, that's so cool though. Like, that'll be so much fun. Like, especially at like a Renaissance Fair. Like, people will go nuts for that.
And then like my last one, I think, is my spider robot Aussie, since it was my first companion robot to like become big. And I have made him again into like a steampunk spider that I call Paradoxy, that was pretty big not too long ago.
That's awesome.
Like, I made 2 of those just because I could, but they look amazing. So, and they function off of like one servo pulley system, and I'm like, oh, this is just fun.
Really? How does that work?
I made a pulley system, and I had the pulley system attached to 4 of the legs. So when a servo rotates, it pulls on some legs and it pushes out on the other ones. So it gives it this nice like crawling type of like look, even though it's not really crawling, like it's moving and like crawling and stuff like that.
Fascinating. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. And that's the first wearable robot I made for my hair. So like I can wear them in my hair without like my shoulder. So that was nice.
Oh my God. I freaking love putting things on my head so much. Like I just, there's so much room for it's activities so up there. I want a spider for my hair.
I'm still figuring out the small nuances when it comes to it, but like I learned from that project especially that a robot doesn't have to be just on your shoulder or on your back. You can make one for your hair, you can make one for another part of your body. And that's what I'm like, currently I have a project for, hopefully I can get it done soon. I'm not sure how soon it's going to be though compared to other projects, but I want to work on a robot that can be on your wrist, like a wristwatch robot type of thing. And then I have another robot design, which I haven't fully gotten the chance to get around to because it's going to be really big. It's going to take me a long time to build that one. But, you know, bigger robots, bigger year, more time. That's
awesome. I love it. I'm so excited. Yeah, this is so inspiring. Now I'm thinking of like a bird robot I could have on my head. That would be really cool. And like it's sort of a tiara, but also a robot. Oh, I got ideas now. I'm going to have to make some of these happen.
Go for it. Go for it. Always. I also recommend, just in case anyone's hearing this in the future and you're looking for like ideas, keep in mind that one, you have to think about how heavy the robot's going to be, because when I made Paradoxy, when I first made him for my hair, he was too heavy. I put him on my head for a second and it was just way too heavy, so I had to lighten the load. So think about weight distribution. And also remember, these things have lithium ion batteries or any type of batteries in them. So be careful, because you might have wonderful hair, and for some reason the robot explodes on your head, you're going to have a bald spot.
That would be bad. And also here in Australia, it gets really, really hot really easily. Like, and the top of my head is often the bit that gets hottest. And yes. I'll have to think about that a bit.
You have to like definitely plan out these things, then test them first and do that type of things for maximum comfortability and maximum not blowing up.
Lack of death. Yeah, lack of death sounds like a good plan. Oh, this is awesome. I was wondering, are there any like communities that you hang out in where, like you mentioned that you were on a robot call with Sarah. Is there like a community around that? Or is there like, I don't know, do you learn from other people or is it quite a solo learning journey generally when you're doing this?
It's 50-50. I would say it's definitely 50-50. I don't have any particular group. Like I'm very not social. Like I build robots in my room.
You do
alone.
All right. You're not
very social.
You
I have high
social, love, but you're very charismatic.
I have high social anxiety. I'm not afraid to admit that. I have high social anxiety, so I don't feel comfortable being in a big group of people for too long, because then I'm just like, I'm doing something wrong. I'm going to say something wrong. People are not really interested, so I end up leaving groups like that. That's just how my brain works. It's a human flaw, but sorry, I may have organic stuff right now. So I do talk to them, but like I usually talk to people. Well, me, Sarah, and Scotland, we were thinking about doing a podcast because me and Scotland were talking AI because she's very good with AI. And when it comes to like learning things, I am the type of person who like will hunt out the information. So if you tell me you know this thing, I will be like, hey, let's schedule a talk so I can ask you some questions and figure it out and build upon that knowledge. And that's how that started. I definitely look around the internet. I see what other people are working on. If I have questions, I'll ask the Twitterverse. Like if I have something I don't know, I'll just post it on Twitter and then just wait. And then I get like 20 different notifications of things. Like
that's
how I
got
awesome
that. Yeah.
Because I asked the internet about AI and then Scotland responded. And I was like, perfect. There we go.
Done. Tick that box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Oh, what else? What should we talk about? I don't know. Is there anything you want to talk about while you're here?
I honestly don't know. Why does not everyone have a robot?
Yeah, because I'm terrified of electronics. But I think there's been a few guests lately on this show that are like easing me into it. Like I'm gaining more confidence with every week. So I think I'm just going to have to dive in and get some I have like some Arduino kits and stuff, so I think I'll just have to like Google some little tutorials and just start learning. Yeah.
It's always worth learning. And you have to remember, it's baby steps. You're not going to be like a pro out of the gate. Like, I think that's the thing a lot of people get discouraged with is I feel like a lot of people are perfectionists in a lot of different ways. So you expect to be good out of the gate. And it's kind of like you have to allow yourself to be bad at something, yeah. Which is really weird. You know? But you have to allow yourself to be bad at it first before you get good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. This is definitely you learn how to ride a bike.
It's like riding a bike first. It's kind of like that.
I still suck at riding a bike. This scar is from riding a bike. And I was like 17. Yeah, I still suck at that.
So it's to ride a bike.
Yeah, not good at it. Most macro physical movements, I'm not good at. Little things, I've got good small dexterity, but big movements, so bad. So bad. Dancing, oh my God. Anyway, maybe I need a robot that can teach me that.
I mean, there's a Boston Dynamics have all that covered. I'm trying to focus mostly because that was a thing too, like other than having my own personal robot best friend, is I'm trying to focus mostly just on wearable robots. So like I got asked not too long ago, that's why I allowed my robots to walk on their own and stuff. And I feel like people have that covered. Like everyone's on the internet trying to have that covered. So I want to just focus on just the wearable aspect of it. That way, in some way in the future, someone might see my work and be like, hey, we can put this into this or something into that. So
I love how different your stuff is from everything else out there. And like, even within the other people who make wearable robots, you each have a really distinct, different style. And I think that's such, yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. And I love it. I love it. Just keep doing awesome. Where can people, what were you going to say?
That's what we're going to try to do, at least.
Well, you're succeeding. Where can people find you? Like, and what do you have upcoming? What can you talk about?
You can find me on Instagram at oddj. Same thing with my Twitter, same with my Twitter handle. And both of those are linked to like TikTok if you want to see me talk about random stuff, because I still haven't figured out TikTok.
I think you're doing all right.
I'm old. I'm very old. It's a young people's game.
I haven't delved in for the same reason. Like, it's scary. I'm not cool enough. But you're rocking it, sir. You're doing fine.
I accident.
It's awesome. It's working.
And what I'm working on currently, I am upgrading RX21 right now because I love how it works, like fit it on me very well. I kept forgetting it was there at some points because it was just hugging me on so well. I didn't have to keep looking at it. But I am working on making it more interactive. I wrote down a few like notes that kind of have in front of me, you know, sticky notes that I wanted to fix, which is one, the beeping is still sporadic and it's kind of annoying. So I really want to make the beeping process more interactive. So that's why I really want to get the voice thing together. That way I can like talk to it and it'll respond instead of just beeping every so often. It's cute in movies, but literally, if you have it on you all day, it gets to a point where you're just like, I want to unplug the speaker.
Fair.
I'm changing up the design a bit just because it's very pill-shaped, which is totally fine, but I think I can do a more interesting design. And one of the things this year is definitely working on more detail. So like, I bought some like Ava foam that I plan to cut up and turn it into like details and stuff like that for robots to make them look even cooler. And I'm working on a special backpack type of stabilizer. That way I'll attach to that. And that way I won't have to worry about my movements as much. So I'm using an accelerometer to make a stabilizer with an Arduino. That way the robot can be perched onto something that will move when I move and stay stable.
That's so cool. Wow. That sounds really cool.
If it works, but like I said, this is just a prototype, so there's a good chance that I'm going to have to test this a few times and get some programming help from other people, but the concept is there. The idea is there. It's just having time to do it and then testing it.
Yeah.
Which is the fun part. That's the fun part, the testing.
Do you find that drives you, like, because you love the testing so much, do you find that that gets you through like the sticky spots, like knowing that that's coming up in the future?
I want to say yes, definitely. I'm very self-motivated when it comes to stuff, just because, like, of course, child trauma, probably a therapist can probably figure out a lot better than me, but I kind of push myself into all the things robotic and stuff like that, just because I wanted to become good at this, and I wanted this more than, I guess I could say anything. Like, I really can't imagine myself doing anything else with my life at this point. Like, I just can't. So I'm very motivated as long as I see some type of progression. So even if I design something and the design was a failure because of something or another, I'm okay wasting that several hours because I learned something from it. And I have a little, in my sketchbook, I have a fail trial and type of notes in my sketchbook that if you read, it'll just say, trying this today, this failed because of this, trying this later. And I feel like as long as I keep going to that, I'm totally okay with going. Because at the end of the day, I still see my success more than my failures.
That's awesome. Yeah. So cool. I love it so much. I just want to sway with it. I think I'd end up mimicking the robot if I had one.
It's fine. Sorry. It makes it for way more fun conversations over Zoom, because
definitely
this is how the world's talking right now.
With like the eye animation, like it's such a simple animation, really. Like it's two circles, but it has so much expression. Is that something, like, where did you get that from? Like, the animation side of things, I suppose. How do you design an animation or even the, like, overall movement?
Ironically, this is the same eye animation I've been using for years from my first spider robot. I had found it on the internet years ago, but I learned how to do it myself now. There's actually a website you can look up LED matrix on, and it has, like, a little dot matrix on it, so you can, like, design it and then apply it to your code, because then it'll give you the binary of it, and you can just go into the code and just edit the binary and then turn the eye matrix into anything you want.
That's cool. Okay.
I just like this one because it reminds me of my first robot. So, like, I keep this eye animation, but I can totally edit it and make it do a whole bunch of different things if I really wanted to. But, like,
why would you want to? It's so endearing, yeah. Like that. Like, it's so cute. I wouldn't change it. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I love it. Oh. This has been so, so good. Thank you so, so much for coming on, and kind of really short notice because I'm so disorganized. But thank you so much for this. I really, really enjoyed it, and like seriously inspiring stuff. And yeah, I will drop all your socials in the below so people can check out all your amazing work. And
yes, yeah. Follow me, followers. I can have an army.
We can all be his companions. But yeah, seriously, thank you.
Going on now.
Yeah, you need like a big lab coat and some, well, you've already got the awesome mad eye glasses that's got that check.
Working on those, working on better versions of those too.
So, oh, upgrades. Really?
I was working on upgrades. Nothing is perfect. Perfection is a falsehood created by people who want you to stop working on things.
Well, you make amazing things, so I'll take that as truth. thank you. And yeah, we'll see you on the internet. Bye.
Bye.
I'll stop recording. Stop. Yes.
I am loving making this series, and if you are too, please support me on Patreon so I can keep making more. Top supporters will appear in this list of legends. You can meet another maker here. And here's a video YouTube thinks you'll like. If you want to catch up with any of us, all our socials are in the description below. See you later!